Our next question is for Dr. Burns, and it's from Mary in Springdale, Washington. And Mary wants to know, why does insulin resistance cause laminitis?
Well, I would answer to Mary that I would also like to know why insulin resistance causes laminitis. There has been an incredible amount of research effort poured into this very question pretty much ever since it was we first started to observe that some of these endocrine issues were associated with laminitis in horses. And, you know, we've come a long way in 10 years, and we've sort of started to distill down some of the important research questions. But at the end of the day, just a bit of a spoiler alert for you, Mary, we don't know exactly how insulin dysregulation causes laminitis, but some points that have been that are under investigation. So we know that, as Dr. Manfredi explained earlier, insulin is really important for glucose disposal, and primarily the tissues that take up glucose in response to insulin are the primary insulin responsive tissues. So these the skeletal muscle, the liver, and the adipose tissue. All of these tissues that need to respond to insulin express a receptor on their cells that lets that lets it see that insulin. So insulin binds its receptor, and then the downstream effects of that occur. The digital lamellae, that structure that I described earlier that provides that sort of Velcro connection between the hoof capsule and the coffin bone, those cells in there are very analogous to the cells in your skin. It's essentially, as I mentioned earlier, it's a very heavily modified fingernail. You can think of it that way. And those cells in that heavily modified skin appendage are not insulin responsive. So we know that those cells in there, they need a lot of glucose to maintain that connection between the hoof capsule and the coffin bone. They're doing a lot of work. They use a lot of sugar, but they don't need insulin to take it up. And so they're glucose in, or they're insulin independent. And so we know that if we take a horse or a pony, and it's interesting that Dr. Manfredi mentioned standardbreds earlier, and that's our experience too, that quarter horses, standardbreds, thoroughbreds, while we certainly see the odd case of insulin dysregulation in those breeds, they seem to be at some level sort of genetically protected against some of these diseases. But it's sort of unfortunate that a lot of the really landmark studies in this field have been done with standardbred horses. They're sort of the workhorse of laminitis research. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for laminitis that's associated with sepsis, or for support limb laminitis, that's probably perfectly appropriate, and maybe we can extrapolate a lot from them. But it's sort of a limitation of some of this work that a lot of these things are being done in standardbreds. And so people are recognizing that and trying to modify their approach somewhat. We know that if we take a standardbred horse and we infuse insulin in their blood for 3 days or so, 48 hours, 72 hours, to very high levels, so instead of 20 milliliter national units per liter, if we make it 1,100 for 3 days, we can make that horse laminitic. Why that is a bit unclear. It doesn't appear to be that insulin signals directly to those skin cells, those keratinocytes in the lamellae. There seems to be some sort of an intermediary between those two, and it actually might be glucose. Along with all of that insulin that has to be infused into a horse for this model, in order to keep their blood sugar at a relatively normal level, we have to infuse a lot of glucose as well. And because the lamellae are not insulin dependent, they continue to take up glucose quite readily if we infuse it at a high level. And so we don't know exactly why IR causes laminitis, but there's lots and lots of studies that suggest that the higher a horse's insulin is, both either at baseline or in response to some sort of glucose challenge, either an oral sugar test, a change in their diet to a high non-structural carbohydrate feed, that's a pretty strong, probably the strongest risk factor for endocrinopathic laminitis that we know of in horses. So we're still trying to tease out the details here, and there's a lot more work to be done, but it really is a pretty robust correlation at the moment.